Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's wonderful to have you company for another episode of the show. Now, if you're a first-time listener, welcome. It's great to have you here. And if you've been around the block a few times with us, well, welcome back. It's great to have your company too. One of the questions that I'm constantly fascinated by is around the field of human achievement. And specifically, why is it that some people achieve so much while other people find it much harder? And today we want to explore that question in some detail, and I'm joined by Beth Bishop. Now, Beth's got a really interesting background. She was ready to embark on a career in law, but she had a massive pivot and went into the personal fitness industry. She's run a successful business there, which she's taken from some difficult stages into a really thriving and successful business. And now she's been working with entrepreneurs to help them achieve similar results in their own businesses. But one of the things that she's really passionate about and really knowledgeable about and has a lot of experience in is the inner game of business, specifically mindset. You know, why is it the thing between our ears determines so much of our external success? And so in this conversation, we're going to talk about the role of identity and how to shift identity. We're going to be talking about the roadblocks that hold people back, the resistance points around that. And we're going to talk about some particular questions that are going to help you unlock your goals. And actually, Beth's been really, really generous. She's provided a resource, which you can find in the show notes. And that resource is about how to set goals that actually stick. So again, if you're listening to this at some time in the new year, you're going to want to actually listen to this podcast a couple of times, because what Beth shares are some really important facts and some really important insights and some really important strategies to help you not just set goals that stick, but to actually bring about the outcomes you're seeking to achieve. So when it comes to achievement, the inner game, super duper important. And because we know that external success is preceded by internal work and internal success. So heaps of stuff in this episode for you. Now, if you haven't already got it, the summer edition of the Savvy Dentist magazine is out, and we have got some absolutely brilliant articles in there. We've got articles on debt recycling. We've got articles around cyber and making sure that we're staying safe there. We've got articles around payroll tax. We've got a heap of things in there to help you grow your business. Now, the Savvy Dentist magazine has been put together by dental practice owners for practice owners, and it's really designed to help you create a business and a life that you love. So it's a free resource. All you need to do is head across to SavvyDentist.com/magazine, grab a copy. It's yours as our gift to you, and I really hope you enjoy that. Hey Beth, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Great to have you join us all the way from LA. How's things in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's nice and sunny and warm, and gotta love it.
Mate, you do have to love it, because LA is a glorious part of the world. I was in California a little while ago, down in Santa Monica, not too far from you. Ooh. And it's picture perfect, as they say, beautiful one day, perfect the next. And so good to have you here, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Beth, you've had a really interesting career and career trajectory. And one of the things you're really well known for is you established the Phoenix Effect in LA, which is a training studio and gym and helping people achieve their fitness and wellness goals. And you've gone into the business space as well. And I was reading up about you, and you've had a career that's kind of been long-standing. And one of the things I'm always interested to ask people is about their backstory, because I find the zigs and the zags really interesting to try and figure out how someone arrived at the spot they're in today. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to where you are today.
Sure. It's a kind of a crazy story. So I went to university thinking, you know, I was going to be the next Secretary General of the United Nations. And I thought I really wanted to be in that sphere and be a lawyer and work in international law, or like some capacity of like human rights, helping the world. And I ended up graduating. I moved to Germany. I did a Fulbright. And while I was there, I saw Muhammad Yunus speak. And he was the creator of microfinance. And I was so blown away with like how business could help promote good in the world. And that just touched me so much to my core that when I came back to the States, I got my first job as a project manager for a microfinance corporation.
Wow.
So that was pretty neat. I was really excited about helping entrepreneurs all over the world with microloans so they could get out of poverty. And I thought that was so cool. But what I didn't really realize is that I've always been an entrepreneur, always. When I was little, I would create crafts and my parents' friends would come over and I would try to sell them to them. Or I was always thinking of a fun new business idea. But I didn't think that business was, you know, for good. Most of my family is very medical. We actually have a dentist or two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In the extended family. So lots of love for your podcast. But anyway, so I didn't think that like business was something that you could use as a vehicle for good. And so saw him speak. I was like, wow, this is it. This is awesome. But I'm an entrepreneur. And I had lunch with a friend who I'd lived with in college, and he had just started at Boston Sports Clubs as a trainer. And he was loving his life. And I was in the middle of taking exams to get into law school, and I wasn't really liking sitting behind a desk and doing paperwork and doing the boring stuff. And so I thought, no, this isn't for me. I'm going to go do fitness. This is what my soul wants. And so then I did that. I decided that I wanted to move to Los Angeles because that's kind of the hot spot of fitness. I wanted to be challenged. I wanted it to be intense, and I wanted to learn and grow as much as I could. And so I got out here, and within 2 years, I opened up the Phoenix Effect.
Wow.
And that had always been like a bigger dream. So that was really exciting. But, you know, with that comes all the challenges of entrepreneurship.
It sure does. And just before we kind of get into those challenges, because I imagine that the challenges that running your type of business are very similar to the challenges that we face running our type of business. But I wanted to ask you about the pivot from law to fitness, because that doesn't seem like an obvious transition, and they're very, very different. And obviously there's the inspiration from Muhammad Yunus and so on. But I'm curious to ask, what was it that kind of made you think, no, law and yes, fitness? Was it because one was desk-oriented and one was kind of a bit more physical, hands-on, interacting with people? What was going through your mind as you were making that decision process, going through that decision-making process?
Well, fitness had always been a big part of my life. I grew up swimming, starting at the age 11, being on a swim team, swam all the way through college. That was really like my family.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I would find myself even, you know, on swim team wanting to like lead the ab workouts or like looking at like the program that they gave us for strength training going, this could be better, but like not really knowing why. And it's always just been a passion of mine. And I would read lots of articles on, oh, this is how you get this result. And I was just so curious. And so, you know, after college, I lifted weights. I got more into that. And I was like, wow, wait, this is really fun. I really want to do more of this, and I want to help other people do it too, because there's a problem with the fitness industry, because 95% of people in the United States, at least, who begin an exercise program quit within the first 3 months.
Wow. Hang on. Let's not just roll past that stat. 95% of people in the United States who start a fitness program quit within the first 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we just linger on that for a second? Because this is going to speak to human psychology, and I'm really interested in this because it's about results and achievement and so on. Have you got any thoughts or insights as to why that might be the case?
Oh, absolutely. Because the fitness industry tells people to white knuckle it and do your push-ups, eat your broccoli, go on willpower, get accountability, get results, push, sweat, be in pain.
Yeah.
And that's not very appealing to most people. And it's actually not how you get results. Because if at your core, you believe that you can't have what you want, you don't have enough time, you're too old, your genetics limit you, then you're never going to want to stick with something, because everything that you believe impacts what you think. How you think impacts how you feel. How you feel impacts the actions that you take, and the actions impact your results. Right. So if you're thinking, man, I can't get fit, I don't have enough time, there's no point, right? Your thoughts will impact how you feel. So you're not going to be jazzed up and getting excited to go put on your shoes and hit the gym. It's not going to happen, because you've already decided that it's not possible and it's not for you. Right. And everything that you feel will impact your results, your actions, and then your actions will impact your results.
That's really fascinating. So if we were to go back to the beliefs part, which is, I guess, the lead domino in that series, I guess where you're going there, and I don't want to kind of presume, but if we're going to change that stat of 95% to something, you know, much more acceptable, I guess the thing is we've got to address the beliefs up front. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, there's actually two things that we need to address up front, right? So we have to address our belief system.
Yep.
And we also have to address our state of being.
Yeah.
So you have two states of being. You're either regulated mm-hmm. with your nervous system, right? We're in our parasympathetic rest and digest system.
Yes.
Or we are dysregulated, where we're either in our sympathetic fight, flight, or our dorsal vagal freeze systems. Mm-hmm. And if we are chronically burnt out, stressed, tired, overwhelmed, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to be at your most powerful state. And then you add that to a belief system that doesn't support what you want, makes it very difficult to get results.
Wow. Okay. So again, there's a heap of things to unpack here. So we're talking about the state of being, sympathetic, mm-hmm. parasympathetic, et cetera. And then we're talking mm-hmm. about belief systems. So before we get on to the state of being, the belief systems, how, if we've got these beliefs that don't serve us, and you've worked with fitness in the fitness industry forever, and you would have seen this probably day in, day out, and your studio mm-hmm. is really well known for getting results, right? I know this because I've done my research and I've looked at all the things happening there. So what did you do differently then to help people adopt a more healthy belief system that would be one of the factors that helped them get on to the better results? What did you do differently?
Well, early in my career, I got really curious and I wanted to ask really good questions in the onboarding process. And one of the things that I had people do, and what we still do in our intake, is I had people imagine their dream result, like how it would feel, what it would mean for their lives. And then I'd had them stop and write down every single reason why they couldn't have it. And when you do that, you identify the blocks subconsciously, at least some of them, right? That are going to block you from having your success.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that we've done. And then, you know, at the gym, we've come up with different, like we call them like little sprints or challenges, where we'll address one habit or mindset block and we will work on it over 6 weeks.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, because if you're not taking care of that inner world, it's not going to help your outer world. I remember once at the beginning of my career, I had a set of identical twins and they were both identical genetically, but one had such a growth mindset. One was like, I can learn, I can do it, you know, just because I need to lose 50 pounds. What is that? Like 20 kilos.
Yeah.
If I have to lose 20 kilos, I can make it happen. I'm going to find a way. I can do this. The other one was a little bit more pessimistic. And that one wouldn't show up. He came for like the first couple of weeks, you know, accountability with his twin. And then he stopped coming.
Oh, wow.
And then he would show up here and there, but he would just self-sabotage. And I really looked at that as like this little mini case study of like, wow, a growth mindset really goes a long way.
That is phenomenal. And let's just pivot into the work you're doing now for a second, because I think there's going to be some parallels here, right? So there's going to be a bridge across the divide here into the business world. Now, you've built your systems in your studio and your gym, which I'll come back and talk to you about in a second, but I just want to talk about the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset in terms of business results as well, because whether we're talking about getting in shape, whether we're talking about getting our business in shape, there's going to be some things that are going to need to be done, and the growth mindset versus fixed mindset is going to play a role. So we spoke about 95% of people who start a fitness program in the United States quit within 3 months. I'm interested about any stats you might have about business success, or even not whether people quit, but just achieving what they really want out of business, mm-hmm. and whether there's any parallels in the same beliefs and state of being that's happening in the business world as well as in the fitness world.
Well, I can talk about the fitness world because I know as a stat, 80% of boutique fitness owners go out of business within the first 3 years.
Wow. Wow.
So that's pretty staggering. And right now too, boutique fitness is really struggling because only 11% of boutique fitness business owners are profitable above 20%, which is pretty intense.
Wow.
So Yeah. So I think a lot of people, at least in my industry, they go in and they really want to help people, but they don't realize, you know, they have to actually learn how to run a business too. And I was definitely in a spot like that too. When I started the business, I had some business partners, and over the years, I, you know, bought them out or got them out. And I was left with almost $250,000 of debt when I became the sole owner. And I didn't really know how to run a business well. I knew how to get people results and help them with their mindsets and change all of that stuff. But I didn't know the systems, the processes, and like to really apply what I had learned about mindset to my clients, to myself.
So what was that journey of discovery like for you then? Before we start talking about how you've been able to help others, what was that internal work for you? What was that journey of discovery like?
Brutal.
In one word, right? There we go.
It was brutal. I mean, I was depressed. Here I was living my dream, my own gym in Hollywood, working with like celebrities, working with professional athletes. Like, wow, this, I'm living my dream. But I was depressed. I was anxious. I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, and I didn't see a way out.
Just before we move on from that, because I think there's a lot of people who would probably have experienced their version of that, seemingly having everything they want and being unfulfilled. And we're talking about achievement versus fulfillment. And of course, there's still things you wanted to achieve. But the hollowness of that is quite remarkable, isn't it? Because you know, you're working with celebrities, you're working with top athletes, you're in Hollywood of all places, which is kind of the mecca for all those sorts of, you know, wonderful people and activities, and still something is missing. So for you, what was the missing piece? Was it, I imagine it was more than just having profitability and financial peace of mind. What was the missing piece of the puzzle for you that was causing you to feel that way?
I didn't realize that the problem was me.
Ooh, okay, tell me more.
I fully believe that our perception, right, our beliefs help to create our reality, and your brain is an amazing search engine. So whatever questions you feed into it, it's going to give it back.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I get clients? Why is this happening to me? Woe is me. Very much in this like victim mentality. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had gotten so loud that I had a nervous breakdown, and I decided that like, I couldn't go on this way. Something had to shift. That's when I started to really, this was back in like 2018, when I really started to go deep into neuroscience, and I hired a bunch of amazing coaches, and I went super, super deep into somatic work so I could clear out all of this yuck that was stored in my body and in my mind. So it was a very brutal process, but I knew that like I was creating my reality. And if I wanted things to change, I would need to stop putting the blame elsewhere and take full responsibility for exactly where I was in my life and make the shifts that I needed to take to get there.
Would it be okay if I made an observation for a second? Not so much about yourself, but just about the responsibility piece, because one of the things I've noticed dealing with lots of different people in lots of different environments across lots of different industries is taking that sense of personal responsibility sounds really easy. It sounds really obvious. It's not easy and it's not obvious. And I would postulate that there's a whole, like a major portion of the population that don't take responsibility for themselves, and they're looking to blame others, you know, make excuses, maybe even live in denial, whatever it happens to be. Do you think that my comment is reasonable, or do you think I'm being a little bit harsh on that? Because I don't mean it harshly. I don't mean to be critical of individuals and people, but I'm just wondering whether our culture at the moment is one of it's all their fault, someone else to blame, and that actually robs us of our own agency to take control of our own lives.
I 100% think it's reasonable, and I think it's real.
Yeah,
because
wow.
It's not, victim mentality doesn't mean you're like, woe is me, I'm this victim all the time. It could mean being in comparison to others. You know, like why does this dentist have like more people at their practice than me? Why do they get all these clients and I can't?
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we're in this like negative space where it's our external reality is in control of our happiness, or it can come across as I will be happy when, then I'll allow myself to be excited. then I'll allow myself to feel joy when I hit this benchmark mark of income.
I think there's a lot of people listening to this podcast, probably driving their car going, check, 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 check. Because I think you just touched on some really important thoughts there, because there's a lot of people that go through the I'll be happy when, or why are they doing so much better than me? But as you quite rightly point out, making external things the key to our happiness is a big, big mistake, which I'm going to put my hand up and say I have been, you know, yeah, two hands in the air.
Same,
if you've done that before. I've done it, right? I've done it. And it's easy to fall back into. So my question for you is, how did you get out of that and how did you stay out of that?
Well, here's the thing. It's not that you ever get out of it, because those thoughts will come up.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So anytime that you want to make a change, you have to first become aware that there's a problem. So that's step one, right?
Yep.
So if we recognize that, like, hey, maybe I'm letting things external to me dictate my destiny, my happiness, all these things, maybe I can start being more aware of my thought patterns, my mentations, as I call them.
Yep.
Those are the repeated thoughts that we have day in, day out. And 90% of them are on repeat, the thoughts that we have. And some neuroscientists say that we have 6,000 thoughts a day. Others say we have 60,000 thoughts a day. But either way, that's a lot of thoughts per day.
Yep.
And if 90% of them are automated, and if a big majority of them are not with a growth mindset, whoo, that's a lot working against you. So awareness is first.
Yep.
Right. So then the second thing we need is knowledge. Okay, great. So I'm going down this negative thought spiral. I need to dispute this, right? So I have the awareness. Okay. So now, what I did is I followed some key principles of cognitive behavioral therapy. So what I would do is I would clock, okay, we're having an anxiety spiral right now. You are thinking things that are not true. You are doom and gloom. So I would sit down. I wouldn't try to think my way through it, because it doesn't work. I would actually sit with my hands on my heart and I would just breathe for a few minutes. And that allows the nervous system to calm down, so you can start to think a little bit more clearly. Right. Notice all five senses, what you see, what you think, what you feel, what you smell, what you taste. And then I would ask, okay, it goes A, B, C, D. A, what is the activating event? What triggered this thought to happen? And it would always happen when I would look at my bank statements. And then I would go and I would look at my software and look at all the projected income, and I would freak out about my expenses. And that would cause that. And then I would go, okay, what do I believe to be true about this? I believe that I'm not going to be able to pay my expenses. And then I would ask C, what are the consequences of having that belief? Is that going to cause me to take aligned action? Is it going to cause me to be motivated, or is it going to cause this anxiety spiral? And then that's where we have the choice, which is D, dispute. So it's A, B, C, D. What else could be true? What's a better belief to be to have?
There's a lot in there. There's A, B, C, D sounds so simple, right? But there's a lot to unpack in there. I wanted to ask you, as you were going through that A, B, and C, and D, about disputing the what's the alternate version of the truth here? What's an alternate belief system that might be more supportive? In your circumstances, obviously, you've come through that and you've gone on to great success. How did you dispute that? I'm just wondering if you can give us an example of what that looked like in real time, just because, again, someone listening to this go, look, Beth, that sounds amazing, but can you just give me an example just so that I can work that through in my mind?
Yeah. So if I'm saying, like, oh, I don't believe that, like, new clients will show up, or that my ads will work, or you name it, or I won't get referrals. And then I would remind myself that, okay, there have been points in the past where I have done this. I would remind myself that I am learning new systems and structures all the time and testing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never going to be perfect, but I am growing and things have been getting better. I would remind myself that progress is not linear, and that's okay. And sometimes it's going to go back a little bit.
Love it. Love it. So can we shift gear for 2 seconds?
Yeah, let's do it.
All righty. So I want to ask you about going back to your gym and studio, because we've just heard some of the challenges that you went through, but we also know that the story has a happy ending, which is tremendous, right? And the gym and the studio, as we've said earlier, has been going really well. You've created enormous freedom that comes from it in the financial sense, the time sense, and those are some of the systems and processes that you teach for other gym owners. One of the things that I've noticed in dentistry is that a lot of the people that come to us for help are burnt out, stressed out, frustrated. And they're burnt out and stressed out and frustrated because they kind of got into this business thinking it was going to provide them the freedom. It was going to be the vehicle to help them achieve financial freedom, time freedom, generally greater levels of satisfaction and happiness as well. And at some point in time, they do a bit of a mental reckoning in their head and they go, well, hang on, I'm not making that much more money. I actually have less time than I had before because I'm doing dentistry or you know, looking after my patients or clients, in your case, throughout the day. But then I've got to do everything else after that. And what that all means is the trade-off hasn't quite worked out for me and I'm feeling like I'm not as happy as I thought I was going to be. And for some people, most of the people that come to us are looking for a way through that, and we have some processes and things like that because we deal with that all the time. But there are some that go, actually, I just want to quit on that and go back to being an employee or whatever. Let's talk a little bit about that decision point of whether I quit on my goal, my dream, my reason for doing this in the first place, because I'm sure you see this when you're helping gym owners as well. Can we talk about that inflection point? And then can we talk about how to work through some of those things?
Totally. I mean, I had to work through it. And every single entrepreneur that I've ever worked with has gone through it maybe a couple times.
Yeah.
Right? So
me too.
What I had to do in that, when I think about quitting, I have a practice that has been really helpful for me. Whenever I get a positive review or someone says something nice or message me something, sends me an email, I will screenshot it and I will put it in a folder. And that folder is called my happy place.
Right.
And then I also have this other sheet that I've written out. It's like my offer and my purpose statement and reminding myself of why it is that I do what I do and why it's important. And every time I feel like quitting, I look at all these stories of people that said, you know, like, look, I was thinking about taking my life and then I showed up at your gym and it changed everything. I felt lonely for 20 years. I felt like I would never feel at home in my body. And I go, oh, this is so much bigger than me. And then I think about my amazing staff, about how they are connected to their purpose and how by me showing up as a business owner, I'm helping them live their purpose. And so it allows me to get out of my own way really, really, really quick, because I fully believe that if you don't feel good in the only home you live in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the world is going to miss out on your greatness. Because your body is just one life aspect. You know, you have your relationships, your business, you have your family, your friends, your spirituality, all these different areas. And when one life structure gets destabilized, it impacts everything else. So it's my job to, you know, in my fitness facility to help people unlock that life structure so they can show up, so they can, you know, say no to that toxic relationship, get themselves a promotion, feel confident. And that's what I like to do with entrepreneurs as well, help them move past that.
So let's talk a little bit about moving past that. And as I said, when people come to us, they're often burnt out, stressed out, frustrated. Mm-hmm. When people come to you, what's the first thing you're looking to understand or even to do for them to help them kind of get sense of where they are and that there is a hope and a future that is more positive than the one they're currently living in?
I think at any place that we're at, if you are feeling intense feelings of overwhelm, stress, and burnout, we need to take care of that right away, because those emotions are like a fire alarm, right? And the problem is not the fire alarm, okay? It's the fire.
Yeah.
The fire is all these beliefs and these events that have happened to us that make us feel dissatisfied. So we take a look at that.
Yep.
Whenever I sit down with someone, we talk about like the good, the bad, like, what do you love about this? And if a genie came to you and could grant you these wishes, what would you want? What would your ideal business and life look like? Because we need to know where we're going first.
Yeah.
Right. And then we look at the fire alarm and the fire. And we start to distance those intense emotions by doing, I usually have people do a couple balancing exercises just to like get their nervous systems to calm down a little bit, because you can't think clearly when you're anxious.
No.
Ever tried to think your way out of a panic attack?
actually, yes. And it was spectacularly unsuccessful.
Yeah. So, I mean, to answer your question, like really, like if someone's coming to me with like an acute emotion, we're going to do some somatic work to like calm ourselves down first and foremost. And then we can go into, I like to start at a higher level, deeper visioning. Why is this important to you? Because that's going to be the fuel that keeps you going through the really, really hard stuff, right? Because if you are not in your business for a deeper purpose and you're just in it to like make money, it's going to be really hard to move through those rough times.
100 million percent. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people that are driven by money for one reason or another. And I understand that's an important consideration. But I think you're right. I think that if it's just for the money, then it becomes pretty hollow pretty quickly, because as soon as those financial needs, even the most basic needs are met, then it becomes hard to drag yourself through the inevitable tough times that come. Can we talk a little bit about mindset around why some people achieve results and others don't? Because, again, I imagine there's crossover in the fitness world. We spoke about growth mindset and fixed mindset with the twins before and the results that they achieved. But one of the things I'm interested in, you know, for us in the work that we do, and I'm sure it's the same in the work with you do with the people you work with as well, is I'm always curious to understand how we can have clients that work with us and you're getting the same resources, the same support, the same accountability, the same everything, and yet the magnitude of results could be remarkably different. And I'm curious to understand your thoughts about the role of mindset in that, the role of the individual in that, because if it's like those twins, right? They've had the same genetics, the same upbringing, the same diet, the same this, the same that. Why does one grow and flourish more than the other? I'm curious to understand that from a business point of view with, you know, different clients that you've worked with, and certainly I've got a few things to ponder on that as well.
Absolutely. Well, I think subconscious resistance is a big factor.
What do you mean by subconscious resistance? Because I think that's it. I understand intellectually, but just so I'm using the same language as you move forward, could you just explain that a little?
Sure. So we use our conscious minds to set goals.
Yep.
And our unconscious minds work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, filtering out information for us. You have something in your basal ganglia called your reticular activating system. And it filters out, based on your beliefs and based on what you're focusing on, information.
Yes.
Which I think is really interesting. So if you ever buy a car, then all of a sudden you see that same car everywhere and you're like, wow. It's not that there's more of those cars. It's just your RAS working.
Yep.
And so if your subconscious is working on the reasons why you think you can't have it and why you're not good enough and why you're not worthy of the goal, but your conscious mind is like, I want this thing, it's going to cause some resistance. And resistance can also be too that there's a consequence of having that goal. Because sometimes, like for example, when I was working on one of my goals, like a few years ago, I decided to stop personal training. And I couldn't really like, I was like, I want to go 100% full on with my business coaching because I want to help entrepreneurs. But there was a part of me deep down that was like, oh man, this means I'm not going to get to see all these people I like in this capacity. And I'm really going to be missing out on this. And so until I like addressed that, it was harder for me to take that action because there was a consequence. I had to, it's like becoming a new version of yourself. You have to say goodbye to the old version.
So I have an expression. It sounds a little bit black and dark when I say it out loud. So here's my expression. All progress begins with the death of an identity.
Oh, love.
In the world that I work in, and I'm sure this is similar to the world that you work in, is to make progress, you've got to adopt a new identity, right? So for us, a lot of the dentists that we work with, their identity is all around being a dentist. You know, I'm good with teeth. I can make smiles look beautiful. I can repair this, fix that, and so on, right? And that's really important. but their identity is not yet around business ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got to be able to make that shift and to start seeing themselves as a business owner first, who happens to be a dentist, rather than being a dentist who happens to own a business. And my experience is that when they make that shift, when that switch flicks over, progress comes pretty quickly. Have you noticed that as well?
100%. Like, identity is such a big thing. You know, if someone comes to the gym, for example, and they say, oh, I'm not the type of person who likes to work out. And I'm like, oh, so this is your identity. Just like how like anxiety can become an identity.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The fire alarm can become the identity. So yeah. Your identity is I'm broken and I'm powerless and I'm defective somehow. And that's simply not true.
Have you got any hints and tips or thoughts about how to help people make that jump, make that shift from one identity to the next, to a more productive identity that's in alignment with the goals that they're articulating?
Mm-hmm. So what I have people do as a really great exercise is I have them write out in great detail what this new identity could look like.
Yeah, wow.
How it would feel. So it's like a vision statement.
Yep.
It'd be like 2 years out. And then I have them write out what they have to let go of in order to make that happen and what they can no longer tolerate, because that can be very difficult, right? If you're tolerating, you know, certain employees not doing the things that they should be doing because you're best friends with your employees.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be uncomfortable and that's going to give you resistance.
Yes.
And so when we look at our goals too, I always go through the 5 blockbuster questions for the goals.
Okay.
And that's going to let you know if there's any kind of unconscious resistance stopping you.
Could you walk through some of those questions? Because I think that'll be really useful.
Yeah, these are amazing. So basically what you do is you answer as fast as you can with a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah.
5 being like, absolutely, I believe this with my whole being, this is true. And then 1 being like, no, this is not true at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so we write out the goal. We're like, oh, I got this goal. I'm super excited about this. Okay, question number 1 is, or it's a statement. So I believe my goal is worthwhile and I have a desire to achieve it. So you're like, boom, nice and quick, because you can't think about these too much.
Yep.
Statement number 2, my goal is absolutely attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number 3, the successful achievement of my goal will benefit me and the universe positively.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Or you could say society. Whatever,
yeah.
Know,
no,
whatever.
I get it. Good beyond me, basically. Yeah.
I have everything I need inside me to achieve my goal.
Yep.
And I'm completely worthy of the attainment of my goal.
Oh, okay. So you give yourself a score out of, you know, 1 to 5 on each of those. 5 being, mm-hmm. yes, I believe this with every part
yes.
of myself. And
yes.
1 being the opposite of that.
Yes, for each one. So
for each one,
it
yep.
could be like 5, 5, 4, 3.
Yep.
You know, something like that.
And then what?
And then anything that is less than a 5, you turn the statement into a question.
Ah.
Why do I believe that I don't have everything I need inside me to achieve my goal?
Hmm.
Why do I believe that I'm not worthy of the attainment of my goal?
Okay.
And that will tell you your beliefs behind it. And that's what you get to do with belief change work.
And that's the work.
And that's the work, right?
Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think what's really coming out of this conversation loudly and clearly from where I'm sitting, Beth, is that for the business to grow, first the person must grow, right? Because oftentimes people will come to me, and I dare say you as well, and they'll say, you know, Jesse, what I really want to achieve is $1 million and, you know, whatever it is, and I want to work this many hours, not as many as I'm working now, and I want to have this thing and that thing. And it goes back to that be, do, have model that you've probably heard many, many times as well. And of course, everyone's focusing on what they want to have part, but the big lesson here is before we can have those things, we've got to become the person who does the things in order to have the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that internal work is really important. So ladies and gents, if you're listening to this, the internal work is where the magic is, and the internal work is often the tricky work, but it's the work that is really important and is going to be the first domino that needs to fall over in order to achieve your goals. So we've spoken about why some people achieve more than others, coming back to beliefs and whatnot, it's not necessarily the support, it's not the resources, it's not the tools, it's not this, it's all that internal stuff. When you've seen people make that switch, what's that look like in your experience?
When they decide that they can have it, they can do it.
Yeah, when those fives line up.
Ooh, when people are in alignment, their consciousness shifts.
Mm.
So it shifts from the life is happening to me, then it's happening by me. And in some cases I see it, life is happening through me.
Ooh.
And that's where it gets really cool. Where people start to, I've noticed people start to tune less into the energy of need and want. Like, I need this, I need to pay this bill, I want this, to the energy of desire. And when desire happens, that's when people start to get even more curious. That's when innovation starts to happen. That's where we see exciting shifts, where we go beyond what we maybe thought that we could do, and our consciousness expands, our impact expands, and it becomes easier to get what we want. Mm. And not only does it become easier because there's less resistance, it becomes more fun and we enjoy the journey. And that, I think, is the really cool thing when you see that shift.
Wow. But could you just tell me what you mean by working through me?
Sure.
Rather than by me?
Yeah. So, you know, at the first level of consciousness, we have like victim. Then we have manifestor. You know, oh, I realize like I make life happen. Life isn't happening to me. And then you get to this channeler consciousness. And it's kind of hard to describe, but have you ever just gone to bed being like, I don't really know what I'm going to do about this problem? And then you wake up and you sit down at your computer and all of a sudden you got a million ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
That's what I'm talking about.
So what are we tapping into there?
I believe that we're tapping into kind of like a universal consciousness.
Yeah.
I mean, but maybe that's a little LA, but I think maybe too, when we just decide that like we can have what we want and we just allow, it could be too that it's just all the amazing things that have been in our brain are finally synthesizing and we've decided that it's safe for it to come out. So then it just comes out. That's a less spiritual answer.
Well, I'm okay with the spiritual answer and the less spiritual answer, because it doesn't really matter as long as the outcome is the same, true. Right? We get there, have we get there. But I think there's something really important there, because I know that there's a lot of practice owners listening to this podcast who feel stuck.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there kind of feeling like they've got to grind it out. And it is a grind. Mm. And so rather than grinding, we want them to be in a state of flow. We want it to have an ease and a grace about it rather than feeling like, I don't want to do the push-ups. I don't want to do the workout. I'm not the sort of person who does the workout. So doing it is not fun anymore. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about is how to make business fun again, because I think business should be fun. We spend a lot of time, right, doing this. So I wanted to ask you a little bit how you see fun being factored into running a business of any description. What do you think about that? How does it get done? Any particular insights or thoughts that you could share?
Yeah, well, they should definitely. There was a guy who grew up in my hometown. He's got a great TikTok and Instagram called The Braces Guy. He is the epitome of fun in a dental and orthodontic practice, let me tell you. Like, and it's kind of funny because I feel like me and him operate our businesses very similarly. I will ask in my staff meetings, what would be fun for next month?
Yeah.
And I get up in the morning and I envision, you know, whatever next goal I'm working on, I envision myself as that person, you know, the bee do have. And I run myself through this upcoming day and I sit in my bed and I get so excited about it, about this current day, because I know that each day is like, it's in a way that I can get 1% better and I can get 1% closer to that goal. And I think about the joy and the fun and the connection. And I try to be as curious as I can. And I think curiosity is going to be one of those things that is really important for people when they're feeling really stuck, right? So when we go from like inquiry versus judgment, things are very different.
When we're talking, so this is going to sound like I'm breaking the flow of the conversation here, but there's a reason I'm bringing this up. I shared with you at the beginning of the podcast that when I interview people and talk to people, I try not to do 20 questions because I feel like it just feels a bit stilted. But I'm making notes as we go about particular words. And as we've been talking, there's really one word that I've written down and circled and underlined a few times, and that was the word curious, because it's a word that's come up about five times in our conversation so far. And you've just articulated the role of being open and curious rather than judgmental. So just as one final thought process, because it's come up so many times now, I can't let the conversation finish without me asking you about the value of curiosity in life, business, or anything else.
Yeah, well, being curious allows for so many amazing things. It allows for deeper connection. It allows for listening on a deeper level. When I go into a conversation with someone, I'm curious instead of like assuming what they already think about something or whatever, because that creates conflict, right? If I stay open, I can learn new things. And when I'm learning, I get excited. I'm always trying to learn something. So, you know, one thing that helps me stay not stuck is I try to take some kind of simple online course, or I read a book or do something that is outside of my like fitness and business space to unlock my mind a little bit. But curiosity is just so incredible and so important, because when you can stop judging yourself and when you can get curious about a problem, like, oh, that's so interesting. I had to like really practice this summer when the strikes were happening in Hollywood.
Yep.
The writers were on strike, the actors were on strike, and the entire entertainment industry shut down. And we lost close to 40% of our membership.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I felt myself going back into that victim mentality. Like, why is this happening? I just went through COVID. I'm burnt out and I'm tired. And then I had to be like, oh, I wonder why I'm going into this old mindset. That's very interesting, Beth. And like, oh, I wonder what I could do. What could be another way that I could get clients that's different than before? What could I learn? Who could I talk to?
Love it.
And that is powerful.
Yeah. That is actually, I think, what I think you've just shared there, Beth, is perhaps one of the real gold nuggets of our conversation, and there have been plenty of gold nuggets in this conversation, but I think if people were just to listen to that, because every time they find themselves experiencing a feeling or going down a particular thought process or whatever it is, just having that consciousness and awareness to stop and go, well, hang on a second, why am I feeling this and what's a more productive way of being? As you say, that curiosity is really key. So again, I just wanted to say thank you for sharing that, because just throughout this conversation alone, that theme has come up quite a few times. And as I said, when I record podcasts, I'm not a massive note taker. I'm just trying to listen to the conversation. But I did write down the word curious and circle it and went, I've got to come back to that. So thank you. Hey, Beth, we have covered a lot of material today. We've kind of been up and down. I like to say uphill and down dale, and I've got a couple of regular listeners to the podcast who tease me about that, because when I talk to them at the end of the conversation, they'll always say to me, Jesse, we've been uphill and down dale, because it's apparently one of those turns of phrase I use quite a lot, but we really have been uphill and down dale. And I want to say thank you to you, Beth, for sharing not just your knowledge, but your experience, and you're really generously opening up yourself for those questions, because some of those questions that I've asked you require a degree of vulnerability and sharing. And I want to say thank you for being willing to do that with me. There'll be a group of people on this podcast that'll want to reach out and touch base with you. What's the best way for them to find you, to talk to you, to see what you do?
I would love to hear from anybody who resonated with this and just their thoughts. So feel free to just send me a message on Instagram directly.
Okay.
It's the THEE Beth Bishop.
The Beth Bishop.
Yeah. And if you want to check out the gym, it's phoenixeffectla.com.
Perfect. Beth, from all of us here at Savvy Dentist, I want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you so much for being so generous with your knowledge, your experiences, and sharing so openly and freely with us. You're an absolute gem, and I'm really grateful.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.